What's happening, everybody? This is Alex from the Play to Win podcast, and I've got the other game guru here, Jared.
What's up, folks?
And we are going to talk Cyberpunk 2077 2.0 and Phantom Liberty today in this special episode. But first, we've just got a couple of news tidbits we'd like to jump into. First off the pressers, Mario Wonder just dropped on Friday the 20th to rave reviews. It sounds like a fun romp here. We'll have to jump into that one more when Josh is with us. I think he's looking forward to that one a lot. Have you seen any of the coverage on this one, Jared?
I haven't. I've just heard awesome things about it, and people are just loving the whole feel and saying it just feels like a great Mario game, which is saying a lot because, I mean, A, the history of Mario, and B, like, pretty high bar to cover. Yeah, so.
It really is. It's actually getting compared a lot to some of the greatest in the franchise, which is Super Mario World.
I heard 64. A lot of people are comparing it to the feel of that game, too.
Really? Really? Okay. It's also getting some, it even before it released, it was getting a lot of Super Mario World 3, Yoshi's Island, uh-huh. Super Mario World 2, I guess, Yoshi's Island references, because there's the little touch fuzzy gets dizzy stuff where you touch these little things and you get like a little psychotropic trip. So, yeah, it looks like a lot of fun. I'm still a little unsure about the whole Elephant Mario thing, but people seem to love it, those that have played it. So I think that it's getting nines and tens across the board. So it's definitely a great game, and I will definitely want to pick that one up at some point. The next tidbit of news we wanted to just mention real quickly is on the same day, Spider-Man 2 drop for PlayStation 5. And this one looks fantastic. Technically, it's impressing. The only drawbacks I've really heard of it thus far, Jared, are it kind of just doesn't do anything that different. It's kind of like the same experience that we've had twice already.
I don't think that's so much of a bad thing, though. I mean, and yeah, it does do something different because you get to wear the symbiote and it changes combat completely. So essentially, you have three different ways to play through this one. Granted, I don't know too much about it because I'm trying not to spoil it for me. But yeah, I know that at the very least.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know why we have to reinvent the wheel every single time a new game comes out. It's just not possible to do. And I honestly really enjoy like smaller iterations on the same thing. Like sometimes I don't know about you, but I really go into a lot of games for the story. And so if you just give me a good story with the same mechanics that I love, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Well, and like, would you rather them reinvent the wheel and wait 7 years for this game to come out, or would you rather them pick up from where they left off? And New York was already such a character in the game anyway, so they might as well just build on what they've already built and then just give you a cool new story.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think that's one way that they can start to streamline the production process, is not have to totally reinvent everything every single time. Another thing too is we don't need 120-hour, you know, mega games like Valhalla all the time either. And so having shorter, more bespoke experiences is another way that they can start to deal with the bloated costs and production times going on in the development side of things.
And I just want people to, like, be clear that we don't dislike long games. The criticism is the fact that in those Assassin's Creed games, you have to play it at least 100 hours. We're like, I'll put hundreds of hours in a game when I want to put hundreds of hours in a game. But like with those games, you were forced to finish the story, more or less. Yeah,
it's totally different to have 120 hours of game available to somebody if they want to just literally experience every single thing in it, It's another thing when I can't even mainline the story in 120 hours.
Right, right. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, that's a little much. I don't know. There's also a lot of stuff out there, and I want to experience a lot of it. This is totally a me problem, and I don't have time to play every 120 hour game, and also the other games I want to play too. So there's that. It's also part of the reason why I haven't spent a lot of time in MMOs lately. They just take so much time and energy. Nothing wrong with that, but well, regardless, Spider-Man 2 looks great. It's getting good reviews. I think in general people really like it. It's just, you know, maybe it could have done something more.
Yeah.
I think that's mostly the gist of it. It doesn't do anything that it does wrong. It just could have done more. And by technical standards, it sounds like it's quite impressive.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to that one, too. That one is also in my backlog. I will probably pick that one up over the holidays. Well, why don't we jump into our continuation, essentially, of Cyberpunk 2077 with the latest installments. I have played Cyberpunk's 2.0 update, which created substantial changes to the gameplay and mechanics. I mean, it's a completely different game in a lot of senses.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have already played Phantom Liberty, the latest DLC, the last DLC, correct?
Yeah, that's. I mean, I'm sure they'll do some like system tweaks to get some bugs out, but once they do that, they're done with this game.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. I think there's even a new update slated like recently for it. But that's not substantial changes. That's just
cleanup. No, it's like bug fixes and yeah.
So Phantom Liberty is the latest and greatest release for Cyberpunk 2077, the Odyssey that we have all loved to discuss over the last, year and a half? So,
yeah.
This DLC initially released September 25th of this year. It is out on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series, and PC, and it is only on this gen console, right? It is not on the previous, so that probably helped a little bit with the
getting it out
and kind of streamlining everything, because that was part of.
That was a heavy lift.
Huge issue last time was getting it to work on last gen consoles. There is a whole slew of changes. We have briefly discussed them before, but just to kind of go over some of the bigger changes here. when you play through this one, even if you've played before, all of the skill tree has completely changed. So you will be getting all your skill points back to reinvest in a whole new skill tree setup. There are changes to the AI.
Mm-hmm.
You actually see police just kind of walking about doing their thing now, and they're more likely to engage with you when you do criminal miscreant activity.
The public AI, too. It's not like groundbreaking changes, but they're different as well.
I think they increased the presence of cars and public as well too. It's still not as intense as I think it originally touted in the pre-release stats.
No, not at all. And we can later too, but yeah.
And to be fair, I don't like experiencing traffic in my daily life. I really don't want to experience it in my fantasy life.
Well, I mean, they were saying originally like everything in the city has life and you can follow a person through their daily routine. It's just like, why the fuck would I want to do that? Like, I'm the greatest merc in Night City. I don't want to go through Larry's fucking work day. Like,
you don't want to watch him pushing papers.
So
they did a lot of changes to I'm blanking here as I'm reading at the same time. There's vehicle combat now, which I did experience a little bit about that.
If yeah.
We can talk about that a little bit. There's some changes.
Hacking now.
There's vehicle hacking. You actually have dedicated upgrades to vehicle combat and hacking that you can do.
Yep.
There are changes to the way the augmentation system works, and that both is in armor and cyberware. And I have some thoughts about that. We'll go into more details about that here in a little bit.
Drastically too.
Guns combat has changed a lot. Weirdly enough, we were talking about this off air. Stamina is no longer a thing outside of combat, so you can run to your heart's content. But in combat, it will cost you when you fire your every time you fire your weapons. What's some other big changes here? There's
there's new interactions, weapons, new cars. They tweaked the visuals a little bit, so it's a little smoother, a little more detailed. The lighting's a little better.
Yeah. There's a lot of hacking upgrades.
Oh yeah.
Being able to overclock, being able to queue up some different hacks, so you can have a couple different things going on at the same time, which is
you have a cyber threshold now too, so like you can't go above a certain amount or else it'll start debuffing you.
Yeah, which is cool because that kind of brings in the risk of cyberpsychosis, like a thing that everybody else gets, but for some reason V didn't get for.
Right.
But it does. Cyberware, weapons. That's the main stuff there. There's some new changes to traffic, which we talked about.
The way skills are also calculated, and this will go into our conversation later, but like. You have to get leveled up in your stats, I think they're called now. That's not right. But in any case, that's different. We'll get into it. And I have the game pulled up so I can make sure I know what I'm talking about.
Some minor changes in loot. It now scales to your level. You no longer find clothing on enemies, which actually it says that. But I remember finding a tank top on somebody just yesterday, so I'm not sure if that got changed again or if it just specific loot.
The skill progression is very different on this.
It is, yeah. We'll definitely have to go into more detail on that. These are just kind of the brief overarching changes that I wanted to touch on.
If you do have the DLC as well, which is what I'll be speaking to a little bit more detail, there's like a whole other perk branch.
Oh, really? Okay.
Called relic skills.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So since I just played the 2.0, I spent several hours in that since it came out. I can kind of share my experience, and then maybe we can jump into your experience with the DLC and the upgraded systems. That sound good?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm playing on Series X. I actually was playing Cyberpunk Vanilla on Series X as well, so I've never had a bad experience with this game. Last time I played, I think I played about 30 hours before I finished the game last time. I did mostly mainline it, but I did some side stuff, specifically all the stuff with Pan Am. And
just and by the way, this is going to be full spoilers for the vanilla game, and then I'll tread lightly with Phantom Liberty, but yeah, the regular game, it's been out long enough, we're gonna talk openly about it.
Fair. We'll try to preface some things at times, but yeah, just an overarching idea to keep in mind there. So the last time I had played, I looked before I jumped in, was in April of 2022.
Okay.
So it had been a while.
Yeah.
I've got some thoughts about the changes. First off, I wanted to jump in so we could talk about this, and because this, I've heard that this really changes your experience with playing the game.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, well let's take a look at this. Immediately, you know, they do recommend that you start a new game if you're wanting to experience some of this stuff. I'm not that kind of person. I will sometimes, but it's like I spent all this time developing a character and whatnot. I kind of wanted to just jump right back in from where I was and kind of sandbox it, essentially. Yeah. So I jump back in with my character, jump right back in from the save right before I go in to finish the game, before I meet up. I will say it with all these changes, it's a little bit overwhelming kind of coming into this cold. Yeah. You jump in. I have the, like, I have to relearn the systems of things, which it's not an overly complicated, hard to learn game. If you play most first person shooter games or RPGs, it's kind of got that same vibe and system and playthrough. You know, I have been playing a lot of Starfield, so it's got a lot of overlaps in the way that game runs as well. You know, being able to pick up and interact with things kind of like you can in Starfield. But there are nuances to this game that are different. So I had to look up a guide on how to hack a quick hack again, because I couldn't remember how to bring up my quick hack menu. I didn't know, like, it took me a little bit to figure out how to interact with my map and my quest log and stuff. Most of it's intuitive, but like just getting it to switch to what I wanted to, like, took a couple different button selections that I wasn't expecting. So not a big deal, definitely a me problem, not a game problem, but just some minor things. For those thinking about jumping into this game after a long hiatus. Now the real overwhelming aspect was, hey, by the way, we completely revamped the skill trees and all that. So all the points you spent, we're refunding those. You still get them, but you got to respec your character from the ground up again. And this is both really cool and really, really overwhelming, because now I got to figure out what to do with 20 or 30 skill points in a system that I don't really quite remember how it works. And into a bunch of things that are new to me that I don't really know what they do yet. And the way the new system is set up, and I kind of vaguely remember what the old system looked like, and I know it wasn't really the strength of the game for me before.
Mm-hmm.
I do think this system is a little bit better overall. But there's just a lot of different things to go through, and without any kind of tutorial at all, you got to figure out which things go where and how. I still don't even completely understand how to unlock. There's some things that are locked behind a barrier. I assume it's attribute points. You have to put in an extra attribute point and get it to a certain point to unlock more skills above the barrier. Okay. So I had already spent my attribute points in a lot of areas and whatnot, and it doesn't refund those, actually.
No.
So
I think you can manually reset them a couple times.
I think you can manually reset your skill points, and you may be able to manually there's some limitations on the attribute points, though.
You can reset your attributes.
I think there's limitations to it, though. Like, I think you can do it like once.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Only do it once or twice.
And then you have to stick with what you got, which is fine. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
But that was something new to me that it took me a little bit to get used to. The next thing was, I'm like, okay, I'll spend these points in there. I'm going to figure it out. And by the way, the new skills, some of them are great. Like being able to queue up quick hacks, like I mentioned already, upgrading your RAM, being able to, I'm blanking on some of the other skills, but those were some of the main ones that I decided to spend a lot of my points into, were the net running related stuff. I thought was very cool to be able to do and have more control over than you used to be able to do. And more, it really brings into, I think, the vision of what they wanted quick hacking and net running to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fantastic. So I decided to do a couple of missions while I was doing this. I think I did 3 or 4 quest lines yesterday while I was messing around. One of them, I continued some of the stuff with Judy.
Yep.
Most of that was just interaction stuff, story stuff, and just kind of exploring the world. Then I also did this, I know you've done this one, but it's the one where the mayor is assassinated.
Yeah.
And you got to figure out what happened. Mm-hmm. And so you're kind of like doing some detective work and stuff. It's a really neat quest line. So I did that one as well. Which
one of the craziest, most like conspiratorial iceberg freaking.
Oh yeah.
In the game.
So I did a couple of those. Those are both available in the vanilla. If you get the 2.0 update, you'll be able to do all this stuff. So I got to experience some combat. I got to experience some sneaking around. I got to experience just some traversal of the city. Oh, I also did one for Carrie. this is kind of a funny one, where he gets really pissed off that this girl band wants to cover one of his songs.
Yeah.
So you go and just blow up their shit, and he's just it's funny. So that one was more just driving around and stuff. So I got to experience a lot of the different things. I got to experience some car combat. I got to experience just some regular combat. And all I do got to say, I was never really high up on the combat in Cyberpunk before. It, to me, was very cumbersome, and I just didn't think it felt really good. I got to say, the 2.0 update, the changes they made, it feels much closer to what I would want a RPG gun combat to feel like. I will say I didn't do anything crazy with my combat. I didn't really in my original playthrough as well, because this is a game that really encourages you to do some wild things, to, you know, get gorilla arms, to actually take a katana and be a hack and slasher, or to use guns, use smart weapons and hack. I didn't do a whole lot in my vanilla playthrough, mostly just using different types of guns. This playthrough, this time around, I actually used the quick hacks a lot. I felt like it was encouraged to. I felt rewarded to do so. The combat felt good. The added traversal stuff was neat. You know, seeing people kind of, the AI seemed a little more intelligent and more engaged this time.
Yeah.
The police were there and actually yelling at me if I got too close to them busting a suspect, which I thought was kind of neat. And, you know, I've always felt Night City felt really alive and lived in.
Mm-hmm.
And this just kind of adds an extra layer to that, where people are a little less annoying when driving around.
Yeah.
Which is cool. So overall, I would say I really love the 2.0 update. But for anyone jumping in, it's going to be a bit of a learning curve.
Yeah.
The Ripper Dock stuff, that's something I didn't really mention too. I did go one of the first missions you get after 2.0 launches when you load it up is you get a message telling you that I forgot what it's called, but it's to introduce you into the Ripper Dock 2.0 stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it just tells you, hey, you need to go to the Ripper Dock, check it out. There's these upgrades. You can go to any Ripper Dock and they'll help you out. And that's your Ripper Dock kind of hitting you up. I forgot his name. What's his name? Is it
Vic?
Vic? Yeah. So Vic gives me a call and lets him know, hey, Victor, you can go to anybody. You can come to me, you can go to anybody. So I just went and found a Ripper Dock and went in through. And, you know, I had a bunch of stuff that I had already purchased, so I could just go in and upload that stuff. But you actually have a threshold now to hit. And if you get over that threshold, it causes issues. I didn't go over that threshold, so maybe you can talk a little bit more about what happens when you do. But then your armor is essentially based upon the upgrades that you get through cyberkinetics instead of your clothing.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I don't know. I've heard people kind of complain about clothing being related to your armor rating and whatnot in video games. RPGs have been that way since the dawn of time. I'm kind of I'm a traditionalist in that sense.
It's not a big deal to me, but like the fact that they changed it, it's not a huge deal to me once I figured out.
Same. And then at that point, you just I wore some really stupid shit in my vanilla playthrough of Cyberpunk.
Well, and that's better armor. Why they changed that the wardrobe closet too, so you can have whatever Under Armour on, and then you can put on an outfit over that, and just so you don't look like an idiot. And they did that update like a year ago.
Well, and I get that. I think that's fine. I like the way like Hogwarts Legacy dealt with it.
Yeah,
you can just you put on whatever is best, and then you go in and just you can change the aesthetic to whatever you want.
Cyberpunk ended up doing.
Well. Except the armor, the clothing doesn't really do anything anymore.
Well, not anymore. So they changed it once.
Yeah.
because people were complaining that to get the best armor set, you look like an idiot.
Right.
And then they added the transmog thing to where you could change the aesthetic but keep the ratings of
the armor.
And then now it's just, it means nothing.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was referring to, is it meaning nothing now. It's like, okay. Yeah. It's not a huge deal. I kind of like that way where my clothing, the things that I choose to wear, matter in some sense. And in some way, I've heard people discussing this and saying, well, it doesn't make any sense that my clothing gives me +5 stamina. I'm like, well, yes and no, it doesn't. Because, like, if I choose to wear lighter clothing in real life, you know, like I'm a runner, it's going to impact my wind resistance and my ability to run. If I choose to wear really heavy clothing, then I'm not going to be able to run as far. If I choose to really wear really stylish and chic clothing, then I'm going to have a better charisma in real life, essentially. If I choose to wear a bulletproof vest, I'm going to be protected from, you know, bullets. So it does have some basis in reality. I get that it kind of gets excessive sometimes, but I think there's a world in which you can have a happy medium. I don't hate what they did by any means. It's just kind of a taste thing, and I can see some people liking it, some people not liking it. I'm while pretty neutral.
I was gonna say, while we're on cyberware real quickly also, and it's just everything, like the whether something's common or legendary really doesn't seem to matter much either anymore. I've been trying to figure it out. But you don't pick up those individual things. You just upgrade stuff to make it that. So,
really?
Yeah, your cyberware, everything's going to be blue, and then you have to level it up. And then that's how you get it up to legendary now.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
That's definitely a different change. I'm not sure
that's
how I feel about
that.
That's
a huge change.
Is it costly, difficult, I guess, to get things upgraded in that way?
Yes and no. Like, crafting is another thing that's quite different, in the sense that getting crafting material is a lot harder. Like, it's a lot more scarce. Finding crafting materials for quick hacks, which is what I used to always do, it's a lot more scarce, so you have to loot and disassemble a lot more. And you can't just buy them. And that's what I used to do, is just buy all my crafting materials. But no, you have to, like, loot them, disassemble stuff to get your crafting materials. So upgrading stuff is not as easy as it used to be.
Interesting.
By any means.
I did not do a lot of that in the vanilla version of the game. It sounds like it's a lot more essential for the 2.0 release of the game, which, you know, if I were to start over today, I probably would delve into that a bit, because I do like a system in which you can upgrade your gear. I think that's really cool. But I also like to be able to find better gear, and it's kind of a balance between I want to upgrade this ship, but I also don't want to feel like I'm just going to find a better gun in 30 seconds. You know, that's why I never really got into, like, looter shooters.
Mm-hmm. No, I hear you. Buying cars is very different in 2.0. So you're not going to get blowed up by all your fixers to buy this and that car. Everything's done through El Capitan, and you just go to a kiosk and you buy the cars there.
Oh, that's nice.
And then as you progress through the game, more cars unlock in there.
Okay.
Let's see. Mr. Hands is completely different. Like, he's a different actor entirely. And I'll get into partly why that is when we start talking about the DLC. The first voice actor who did it kind of reminded me of like a Matt Gaetz kind of a dude. But like he was in shadow all the time, and you just see his cyber hands. But yeah, they recast that dude entirely. And then so those are big changes too. I can talk about one bug I ran into that was annoying, but we can get into that. You can keep rolling.
Well, I'll just touch a couple things, and then we can shift into to some other things. This game, Cyberpunk, is well known for the controversy at launch. Mm-hmm. And it actually prevented me from it didn't prevent me. It did. I did decide to hold off on it for a bit while they cleaned things up. And I got the game that holiday season. So I probably got it in December or January.
Mm-hmm.
After it had been out for a couple of months and they had fixed some of the things, there were minor bugs when I was playing it. I think it crashed a couple of times. Every now and then you'd see something weird and janky happen. I never had any of the like game breaking things that people talk about. I was playing on my Series X as well, so I also was in a better starting position than most people at that, a lot of people in that position too, because I think at PC it was the best. If you had a decent PC, it was the best you could expect, and it was great. If you had a base model Xbox One, it was basically unplayable.
Or PS4.
Or PS4, but I think the Xbox One was really the worst experience you could get. The PS4, that when the first iterations of the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One came out, the PS4 had a little bit more oomph to it. So, you know, when we're talking about tailing back this game, that is now a generation. Oh, I mean, yes, it's a generation, but it's almost two generations. Let's be honest with the console refreshes.
Yeah, well, they had the 0.5 versions of both of those systems. So
I think it played okay on the mid versions refresh, mid console mid at the 0.5s that you're mentioning there.
Yeah,
if I could speak, and it played pretty well on the next gen or current gen now. And it played fine on PC, but it was just essentially broken on the base models of the original, the Xbox One and PlayStation 4 generation. So, you know, I didn't have any issues with it. I still enjoyed the game a lot. The issues I had with the game had nothing to do with that particular aspect, whether it was broken or janky or anything like that. Honestly, it felt like any Bethesda game or anything like that level of jank. There were some weird things, people's heads disappeared or something like that, but nothing too crazy. And so I had a good time with it. I thought the you can go back and listen to our discussion of Cyberpunk 2077, but essentially I thought the cinematics were fantastic. The story was super deep and investing, or it was easy to get lost in. I love the way, I think this is what Bethesda needs to do in their next level of gaming when they upgrade to maybe for Elder Scrolls 6, is the way they tell stories in Cyberpunk, rather than lock you in on like what we're doing right now on Skype.
Yeah, yeah.
They kind of like allows you to look around and walk around and everybody just does what they're going to do. I know that's super demanding for the system, but that's what the next gen is, right? Give me some of that next gen. I think that really takes games like Elder Scrolls 6 to the next level if you're engaged in conversation and then people are just kind of cinematically talking or engaged around you. Like, you're in a scene, you're just the camera.
Oh yeah,
I think that's cool, and much more modern than what Bethesda has done in the past. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I just think that would bring it to the next level. And I thought
the way CD Projekt does character development is next level. Whether it's a Witcher game or Cyberpunk, like it feels like Jackie and Pan Am and Judy, like they're your buddies, and
they feel real. Yeah,
so deep with them.
They do very dark, nitty gritty character relations really well. The world is very dark and gritty and adult, and it's very neat the way it is. I mean, it feels like I'm in a cyberpunk world.
Yeah.
So that was my thoughts on it. We can jump to anything you want to jump into before we on the 2.0 update before we jump into Phantom Liberty.
Yeah, a couple things. So I did actually run into a bug playing through. So when you first jump into this, it's going to prompt you that it's recommended that you start a new game as opposed to uploading a previous save. And the reason why I feel is because the way you get your skill progression points and the way they stack up, it's just how you play the game. And so getting those to, you know, start counting towards you from the beginning of the game is much more useful. I ended up having to use a previous save, and I started at zero from those, even though I was like already a level 50. But the bug that I ran into was between the first and second act, when you're first aware of Johnny in your apartment and he's trying to kill you, there's a moment to where you sit down and right before you start dreaming, it'll crash the game. And the reason for that is if you have ray tracing on, it'll do it. So to turn off ray tracing, if you're running into this, get past that point and then you can turn it back on. That really pissed me off for a while. Another issue that I ran into with the game that I started for 2.0 and for Phantom Liberty, and the reason I had to go to a previous save, was during the mission where you go to Mr. Hands to get you in touch with the Voodoo Boys, it says more or less, go do other things and wait for Mr. Hands to call back. Well, Mr. Hands never called me back. And I was like doing stuff for two straight days. I was looking online. My street cred was up where it needed to be. My level was up, but he just wasn't calling. And literally right as we started this, I went to Pacifica in that game and he ended up calling me so I can progress through. But the reason that's important is you have to get past that Voodoo Boy quest line in order to play the DLC for Songbird calling you.
That was an interesting thing about this game, how they do that. Like, I think it makes for a really cool, realistic and rewarding jump from side quest to side quest to side quest.
Yeah.
And it's like, if I just want to do this one thing, like you wanted to get to the DLC,
yeah,
it can be kind of a bit cumbersome, right?
Yeah.
I think in most natural playthroughs, though, that's actually a positive.
No, it's definitely a positive.
When it works.
I was freaking mainlining the game and just trying to get through. So I mean, now that I'm past that, I'm gonna just chill and play through this game now after I'm done with Starfield. But yeah, that was an annoying bug that kind of really got to me. But as far as the DLC goes, it adds a pretty much a new area of the map. So you have like what are the different districts? Pacifica and Arroyo and places like that. Now you just have Dogtown. And Dogtown is essentially it's a district of Night City, but it's run by this offshoot rogue guy who wanted pretty much a libertarian paradise. Is essentially what Dogtown is. So different rules in Dogtown, different police and all of that, but they'll still come after you. But it's really, when they say it's a spy thriller, that's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. You get a message from a hacker, a netrunner named Songbird, and it's cool how she shows up and she kind of messes with Johnny, which you get new Johnny, dialogue, a lot of it, which is cool.
That's cool that they brought him back to do that.
And Andy Idris.
Yeah.
So essentially she gives you a scenario and says, whatever you're going through, I'm going through something similar. We can help each other out. We can heal each other. And so V is like, USOB, I'm in. And that essentially is what gets you into Dogtown. And then from there, you pretty much have to save the president, which is why you're initially going in there. And that mission is balls to the wall crazy, the first hour or so of the DLC. So make sure you have – well, I guess that doesn't matter. Health in this game has changed too. Like it recharges. You don't pick up the stims anymore.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. That was one of the things I invested in too, was how quickly your health regens.
Yeah, the same with grenades. They're the same way. So you just change what type of grenade you have equipped, but it'll recharge.
So it wasn't – sorry, I'm jumping back in because I couldn't remember how it was before. It was not an auto-recharging health.
No, you just pick up grenades.
Okay, that's what I thought.
I would – and they pretty much – anyway, I used to kind of cheese the game. They programmed those out because I would just walk around with 50 grenades and I would just, you know, just rain them on people. Which was funny, but yeah, you can't do that anymore.
Interesting.
But yeah, I feel that the DLC, I think it gives you about 20 hours worth of play. A lot of new weapons, a lot of new cars, new mission types even. You get a whole, like, gig quest line for Mr. Hands. So in the baseline game, I think you have one quest through him, and then you use him to get in touch with the Voodoo Boys to where you actually have gigs you do for Mr. Hands. And they flesh out his character a lot more. If anybody's been kind of curious, because they make him mysterious in the first iteration of the game. Idris Elba's character is really cool. He's like a secret agent, and you're just pretty much planning, you know, a gig, a heist, and you can double cross people through the storyline too. I'm trying not to like give specifics as I'm talking to this, so sorry if I'm seeming a little obtuse. And then yeah, there's a big choice, and it adds a new ending to the game as well. So
to the overall game.
Yeah, so you can either pick the ending, the new ending associated, and it's kind of a sad ending. Or you can complete the quest lines and then just finish the game like you normally would, and go and raid Arasaka Tower as you would. I won't talk about the new ending, but it has real consequences to than any of the other endings,
So just like the original iteration, you get some options of how you want to raid the tower, and if you choose the one related to the DLC, it impacts the ending of the story. Okay.
Yeah. So I mean, you get what you're promised from Songbird is you get healed, but there's consequences that I won't get into. Gotcha. I think that the DLC, like CD Projekt, I was expecting them to provide a lot of new gameplay, and they did. It's very similar to, I wouldn't call it as large of a new area as Blood and Wine, but it's almost that kind of a quality of what you're getting. Blood and Wine was pretty much its own game in and of itself. That was impressive. I feel like the baseline game with 2.0, it's where it should have always been, you know? And what you get now is a very complete and wonderful game, and don't listen to the trolls on it. But there's a lot to discover. I think the way the new skill branches are, it's going to encourage different play styles. I've played this game over 1,000 hours, and I played the same way pretty much every single time, but I feel like I'll probably go in and change it up more with the way the skill tree works now. And then in the DLC, I didn't get too far into this, but you get a relic skill tree, and these are like supercharged powers or skills that you get to use, and you can invest in those, and you get specific relic points for those. But it changed a lot of what I loved in the game. But I still really enjoy it, and I think it feels just more like an RPG now, and it's a lot smoother. I think a lot of the rough edges are ironed out. From day one, I've seen every iteration of this game, and this is hands down the best version of it.
You know, you kind of highlight what is a pretty risky endeavor for CD Projekt Red here, and that is making substantial changes to something that people have developed a relationship with. Sometimes people, you know, some people are going to jump on and really like the updates and the changes because it's more in line with the game that they were promised. Other times you're going to some people are going to not like those changes because they really developed with the game that they already had, you know. Like I really honestly wasn't too into the hype before Cyberpunk. I just kind of played the game. I knew like basically what it was about, and that it was in this like you know, dystopian cyberpunk future, and it was based on the tabletop game. But, like, I didn't know about all the things that they're like, oh, and you can do this, and people will do this, and you'll follow this person through his daily life and chores. And I'm like, I didn't really know all about that stuff. So when I played the game, I was more like, okay, is this game fun? Do I like what it's selling me? And, you know, is it working? So, you know, the changes for a person like me could be very detrimental to my playing of this game. And it's interesting to see that there's – I have no choice. If I don't like the 2.0 updates, then I just don't like Cyberpunk anymore if I liked it before. So that's a really dangerous play that they did, and I think it's paid off.
I think so too, but I think the real strength of this story is this game is the story and the characters, and however you get to play that story and experience it, I think with this game you'd be fine, you know. And speaking from somebody whose experience has changed drastically even after all the hours I put into it and gotten used to it, I think it paid off well too. And yeah, there's things I don't really necessarily like, or I wouldn't say that, there's stuff that I miss that I used to be able to do, but I think it's all for the better, and I think through and through it makes a better game, except for stamina costing when you shoot. That's stupid.
I, you know, it'll be interesting because we know that there's going to be a Cyberpunk 2.
Yep.
And most developers, I think, would have made these 2.0 changes the basis for the new game.
They have to be doing that, and the next one also is going to be on Unreal Engine as well. So
sure, yeah.
I think that that's going to alleviate a lot of issues potentially, and nothing against Red Engine, it's gorgeous, but having a Epic Games being able to support you while you're doing this, as opposed to having to support your own engine, is going to be huge.
Yeah.
So
it's easier to work with, I hear.
Oh, it's so easy. That's why, I mean, you and I could probably get in there in Unreal and after a couple days come up with something that looks semi-decent. So
it'll be interesting to see what they do with the next iteration of Cyberpunk, because kind of going back to what I was saying is most developers, this is basically Cyberpunk 2, you know, all the changes they made, the new story. Yeah. That DLC is basically Cyberpunk 2. They gave it to us as DLC, which is incredible. I'm sure they'll make some changes and additions and upgrades, but, you know, a lot of it you think is going to be what we just got. Yeah. I don't know. It's probably 6 years away, so who knows?
Well, and like the biggest thing that I think about
at least 6 years.
What's the canon ending and where is it picking up from?
That's true. Yeah, too.
I don't think the devil ending would be canon just because of how bleak that is. But I can see the you're a badass in the storm, Arasaka Tower yourself ending. But I think it'll be the nomad ending will be the one. But also, too, what do you do without Johnny Silverhand? Because he's such a big part of this game. So, you know.
What did you think of Idris Elba's character in the DLC?
I liked him. I mean, he was pretty prototypical old brooding spy kind of a guy. He played an American, so he didn't have his baller English accent. But I liked him, and he added depth, and the voice acting was obviously incredible. And believable, and I like the way he engaged with his crew of people and kind of brought you in. So yeah, I thought it was a great addition, and I'm happy he was a part of it. I mean, I wish he was more in the game too, but
you get a lot of him, I hear, though. Like,
oh, you get a ton of him.
There's a lot of him, but it's just Dogtown stuff, right?
Yeah, it's just DLC. Dogtown. And I mean, they add real emotional weight in this DLC.
That's great. I mean, that's something we got spades of in the base game.
Well, and like the fork in the road in the DLC is you pretty much have to screw somebody over royally. That's all I'm going to say.
CD Projekt Red is so good at giving you choices and then all the choices suck.
Yeah.
I remember that from The Witcher distinctly. It's like, yay, cool. I get to choose three different things here and they all have meaningful impact on the outcome of this game, but they all suck. Like I feel bad about all of these. Spirit
and free the stolen people, but it's also going to kill all the crops and all the villagers are going to have to move away from their homes. Like Jesus. But if you guys have not played this yet, like now's the time to do it. It's in its best state. It's always been a great game in my opinion, obviously, but I think that it's more appealing to the public. Just don't listen to the noise and the haters on this game now. Like anybody who's still criticizing this game for 3 years ago has way too much time on their hands and they're missing out on a really fun game.
I think it's won most people over at this point. I mean, if you are gonna like this game, it's likable now. It's good now. But if this was never gonna be your thing, then it's more the same. I mean, it's definitely a better version of it, but it's not fundamentally a different buy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, give it a chance if you haven't. And it's absolutely beautiful. Whether you like playing in like performance mode, that looks great. The ray tracing looks great. Just a great game.
Do you like the new area, Dogtown? Is it fun to kind of just traverse and walk, run around?
Yeah, I mean it's kind of like a slummy place. Imagine like an extension of Pacifica. There are some interesting new areas, but I mean, it's really, they could have done more with it. I know you can get over to the spaceport now too.
That's cool.
And I haven't been over there. I've cheesed my way over there when it was locked off, but I need to go that way. I like it. It kind of feels like the Wild West in Dogtown. And the way that, it just feels like a new area, which it is. And it feels like a very different area than Night City, which is cool. So, yeah, I like Dogtown. I've put 1,000 hours in the game, so it's kind of hard to, you know, voice expectations versus what was there. And you go between Dogtown and the city still quite a bit. But Dogtown, I will say this, it feels more vertical.
Really?
Yes. Yes. And how you get into Dogtown originally requires like some platforming and traversal and stuff. And it's kind of a cool little sequence. That's something that's big about it, is it's more vertical for sure.
So, for me, being someone who, like Cyberpunk, doesn't typically buy DLCs, what would you do to say to sell me on this DLC? Why should I pick this up?
I mean, it's, what, $29.99, and you get 20, 30 hours of a story plus a crap ton even more new content on top of what you just got for free. I think that alone gives it value, but it gives you a whole new perspective on the world. You get to meet the president of the United States, so you get more of a you get to know more about the U.S. or the NUSA than you did in the baseline game, unless you were like paying attention to seek out lore and stuff. So it gets you involved in that, and you're kind of an agent of the United States of America too, which is pretty cool. It offers a new way to finish V's story. So if you don't like how the other baseline game ends, the three choices essentially that you get, well, I would say six choices depending on who's in control. But I just think that it gives you another very unsatisfying ending, in my opinion. It gives you another ending with huge ass consequences. So they don't, you know, skimp on anything with this, and I feel for what you get and how much it costs, definitely worth it.
Very cool. And the story idea is kind of intriguing to me. It feels like a very 80s, Rescue the President's Daughter. That sounds like an 80s action movie kind of thing. So,
yeah, you feel like
I'm intrigued by that.
I feel like Tom Cruise or somebody going in and saving the president.
I mean, even the world looks like what the 80s pictures the future to look like, right? This looks like something out of Judge Dredd or Demolition Man or something like that.
And I think the timeline splits in the 80s from our timeline to the cyberpunk timeline, I think. It might be in the 70s, but yeah.
Well, very cool. Any last thoughts before we start wrapping things up?
No, this game's great. Definitely hop into it if you haven't, or jump back into it if you left it. I definitely have probably a few more plays in me through it before I finally uninstall it for the first time since I've installed it. But yeah, I love this game dearly, and if you haven't tried it, you are missing out.
Did you hear that, CDPR? Jared needs you to get the next one ready, because he's ready to uninstall this game.
Yeah. And when it comes out, just inject it in my veins, please. I'm happy to
mainline it.
CD Projekt, I'm happy to do QA for you.
Oh my God, yeah, you would love that.
All right, folks.
That's our discussion of Phantom Liberty and Cyberpunk 2.0.
Yep.
Thank you for sticking with us on this very special episode with just Jared and I. We'll be back in your feeds with the whole crew in the coming weeks. Keep listening to our other episodes where we discuss games on a monthly basis. And if you haven't been listening to it, check out our special on Starfield, which we broke up into multi-part episodes. Mm-hmm. And then if you like this, but you're like, wait, what is Cyberpunk? Go listen to our Cyberpunk 2077 episode from back in the day, where we discuss the base game in detail.
If you're one of those people, I'll sell you on the game with two words: Keanu Reeves.
Yes.
Our Lord and Savior.
So if you want to chat with us, hit us up, or just see what the next game is that we're doing, check us out on X, Twitter, at @pod_win. I don't do a whole lot of commenting on there, but every now and then we share our thoughts, or just let you know what game is currently being discussed. Mm-hmm. If you're not a fan of Elon Musk or social media as a whole, you can shoot us a email at our official email at play2winpod@gmail.com. If you like this podcast, give us a like, give us 5 stars, leave us a nice comment, tell all your friends and share this, or give us a subscribe, all those nice things. We're in all your favorite podcast catchers. If you hate this episode, you want us to die in a fiery death, well, you can stop listening. We didn't force this on you. Please tell your enemies, though. They will be punished thoroughly. Otherwise, we will see you next time.
See you guys.
keep going for a bit. I've got a Hornet problem.
Uh-oh. But no, though, I've heard great things about it, and they say that, you know, the story is inspired, as most Sony properties are. And I'm pumped to hear more about it. Sorry, I get to watch Alex kind of. Wait, we'll just do a pause. We'll do a pause. This is a hold. We're in a hold.